Okay, I'm going to talk today about specifics more about short-term futures trading, about fundamentals and technicals. And it's kind of a hard podcast for me to do because I feel like you need to observe me over many months and have a lot of conversations of different context to for me to get these points out the right way. But I'll do my best to do it the way that I would like to do it. So, price action is king, right? We know that. And lo the longer your time frame, the more important the price action to some extent. Because during the day, it's psychological warfare. It's people getting stuck, and there's big moves up and down, and you have a leveraged futures product. So people are having risk, their risk is quick to get out. They don't want to take big losers a lot of times, so they're trading a little larger and for their account size versus like a stock position. And you're going to have just a lot of whippiness. You're going to have a lot of gunning stops out, and then the market, having to get everyone out. Down before it goes up, and vice versa, and taking out key levels when you least expect it, and all that kind of stuff. So, understanding why someone might get stuck at a specific point in time is a really good skill to have if you want to trade bigger and survive and do well in the futures. And if you go into swing trading or something else, it's a very different skill set. Like, I do both, and it's different. It's totally different. And it took me a lot of years to kind of figure out the different approaches. And understanding the catalysts and the trends of certain markets and when they're not behaving the way they should, and that leading to a trade because of it, because people are stuck or whatever, or they don't see something that's changing. I think that's important in all markets all the time, but specifically important even more so in a short-term environment. So the S&P is kind of that ultimate arena for this because it's very psychological how stock futures move during the day. Sometimes, though, there's fundamental days, and those are some of my favorite days because they're very hard to learn. They're more right-brained. They're more putting together pieces, understanding the catalysts of what matter now. And the more well-read you are, the more you understand kind of the different things in the economy and the different correlations, then you can have a better understanding of following the technicals on those days. Because following the technicals blindly is a suicide mission in a futures market short-term because everyone can see the same thing. Everyone knows the patterns, right? And people even understand when they're failing that there's a trade the opposite way. So that's first order thinking. That's simple thinking. And it doesn't work big picture to trade larger because they're going to keep just getting you out of those trades because everyone's doing the same trades. So if you can wait for things to happen that are a little bit deeper, like I think we're going to go down, but I know there's been a big level up here the last few days, and we probably need to go up and get everyone out who has a stop over that obvious level, and then we can go down. Things like that. So selling it after that happens and risking just a little bit more, or if you get stopped out, then when it comes back below the level and it starts to head down, you start selling it again, and things like that work better. And it's even better if you understand when fundamentals matter. So the yield curve, the bond market, even that comment a couple of weeks ago about the Japanese yield curve control, them letting go of that is a decrease in global stimulus to some extent. That's expected, but they're going to do it a little sooner. So we had a big down day that day. If you understood that, you could trade very aggressively in the direction of that trend, a lot more aggressively than you would if you didn't understand that. So if everyone is, let me just give you a general idea too. Recently, everyone knows the last few months that inflation has been coming in lower. Well, we've been rallying way in front of that, right? So now that the numbers are actually coming in lower, guess what happens? The market starts going down because everyone has probably bought at some poor prices above 4,500 because they're comforted by inflation going down. But the market already sniffed that out ahead of time. So everything is moving ahead of the actual news. So you see that happen a lot on the actual news day too, where you'll have the bond market. So on a fundamental day, like a FOMC day or a payrolls day, if the bonds have a really big move, a lot of times the stocks will move the same way. But if there's a true crisis day, like a terrorist bombing, then they'll often move opposite ways. So you have to understand, like, when does it matter? When does it not? So right now, since bonds are blowing out, the 30-year bond specifically is going down aggressively, which means long-term rates are moving up a lot, and they're moving up fast. So anything a quick rate move is tough on credit. It's think about businesses who need to borrow loans. Think about if you need to take out a new house loan, how much more expensive it is. So that hurts the stock market. So a lot of times during the day, if there's a very large move in bonds, you can see stocks either collapse or everyone gets stuck selling stocks, expecting them to collapse. Then we have a massive squeeze up, and then we go down later in the day. We actually go down sometimes when the bond tick, but it's because everyone got stuck first. It's actually doing what it's supposed to, but not the time you'd expect. You can't just jump the quotes, right? It's too easy. It's first order thinking. So you're always playing this game of saying, okay, well, what's everyone else doing? If I'm selling because I think Apple's a huge component and I think Apple's broken technically and it's going to go down, I actually don't want to sell the index when Apple goes down. I want to sell on the Apple. I want to be getting out of my position when Apple goes down and selling my position when Apple goes up, because in some ways I'm, whatever everyone else is doing, I'm going to be on the other side of it, because it's not going to work the way that, it's never going to be clean cut that way. You know what I'm saying? So if I think that's the driver, in some sense, I'm looking for when that Apple stock goes up and takes out stops, but I'm negative on it and looks like it's most bullish, that's when I want to sell the index, because my risk is probably either my idea is shot or my risk is very low at that specific point in time. And that's kind of a feel thing for how you do that. And a lot of times you take two or three shots smaller and cut your risk quickly. And then maybe you get it on the third one and you add to it a little bit. That's how I play things. So what I've had a lot of success with lately is seeing that I know people are looking at the treasuries 10-year, 30-year going down a lot. And everyone says, well, crap, if inflation is not a problem, why is the bond market continuing to go down? Why? It's acting like we're going to need more hikes. There's going to be more inflation coming. So the market's seeing something. Maybe it's credit worthiness. I don't know. But the bond market is going the other way right now. And what's starting to happen is stocks had a big rally. So everyone's selling stocks on these bond downticks, expecting the stock market to go down. And a lot of times everyone just gets stuck. And there's a big rally and then we peter out. So you're just understanding, all you're doing is having an awareness of like, this is a game of people getting trapped and I can see why, and there might be trades on both sides for me to do that. And I think the more you, in some days, and I was talking to a friend and he said, well, how do you know when to look at this? It's like, well, when there's days where there's a really large move in the bond market or a big number day, or when the bond market is making a new high or a new low, like over the last few days, time to pay attention more. If we're in the middle of a trend and it's mature, it doesn't matter as much. It's all about relative shocks and relative perceptions. You know what I mean? Like a big move in oil through the highs is bigger than a big move in the middle of the day. So like oil doesn't really matter right now for us, but you know, if oil goes to 120, it might start affecting the stock futures more. And that's something that you have to watch. People getting stuck, chasing oil, thinking it's going to hurt the economy. So all that stuff, it really matters in when it does matter, and it matters zero when it doesn't. But as you trade and your career goes on, you start figuring out when to zoom into these things. And then you use your other skills that you have in tandem with this stuff. And you can have a lot better time holding things and adding to things and understanding what's happening, because you know where other people are getting stuck. So I don't know how clear that is. And I know that's not, it's not easy to pass on. It's something you have to learn, but it's kind of everything to me, because that's how I look at things. Always looking at where are people wrong and why are they wrong? What are they, if I can see why they're doing something. So for instance, a big day, a busy day where I have no clue why people are doing things, it's kind of a hard day for me. I could not do well, or I can maybe find a little bit of money to make in the busyness, but I'm not comfortable because I don't know what the hell's going on. Whereas an even slower day where I really feel like I understand why people are doing something and what's the reason, if I think the reason's really stupid, like stupid news event in the morning or something like that. Like oftentimes you'll have surprise news like an hour before the open, and we'll have a big move down on the open, and then it'll go sideways for a while and then slowly rally back all day. And I like those days because everyone panicked because it was kind of recent news, but they had time to sell it on the open, right? And everyone got used to it in the first hour. They got used to it being down there. And then at that point, everyone had done their business and it just grinds back up because it wasn't really that big of a deal. It was just a surprise. And then it got comfortable and it went back up. And just being aware of like, is this a big surprise that matters? And usually the surprises, they oftentimes don't matter. They might matter more if the market is really one way for a while. But we had an Apple AI headline a couple of weeks or a month ago where Apple was getting into AI, and that kind of put a top in for a while. That was a classic stupid news trade. We've been rallying a lot and we get a headline that Apple is going to AI. Well, of course they're going to be in AI, right? Those are the things you can take advantage of when you see that happen, because you know that other traders are going to be buying that and they're going to get stuck and there's opportunity for you. So thinking about why people are stuck, and they can even get stuck on, like, think about when your trades don't work, like what are you looking at? Well, others are looking at the same thing. Can you start to reverse engineer that and figure out how to think about that? So this is a very anti-fragile way to think too, in terms of surviving, because this stuff is hard to program out of the market, because there's surprise events, there's changing correlations all the time, and it's not easy for someone who's writing code to figure out historically or even the last few days or weeks how to handle some of these confluence of events. But as a human, you can handle it. And over many years of thinking about and learning about these things, you start to realize when to turn this on and off. It's kind of like, think about if you're playing like a video game, like Mario Kart or something, and there's a regular course and you're used to it, right? And then in the middle of the regular course, say it's a 5-minute course, there's a 1-minute course that's totally different. You're literally getting out of your car and running over obstacles and getting in a fight with somebody, and then you go back to your car. And if you get really good at driving the car, then that's that, right? But if you're not good, the other thing, you could win the race and be an average driver of the car if you were really good at that 1-minute interval. Or even you could handily win the race because you understand how to change the game. Let's say that you don't know when that 1-minute interval is coming, but you're prepared to switch into it. Maybe that's a stupid analogy. I don't know. But I think you get the point I'm trying to make is you have to know when to change gears. It's not easy, and no one's going to give you a roadmap for how to do it, but you have to know that this is changing. This is making a big move, and it's important right now. And you learn how to zoom into those things. And likewise, you learn when everyone's not trading and the volumes are low and we're grinding up every day and it's slow, you got to stay out of there unless you have a strategy for that, because this stuff that I'm talking about is not going to work as well because there's just not a lot of activity. But when these things work, they really work, and the moves are very big. And you have periods where, I mean, this is worth way more than a normal day. So it's, I mean, for me, these are some of my biggest periods I've ever had, 2008, 2011, 2016, all kinds of crypto, 2017 had some of this, many times, 2018 at the end of the year. And they're very uncorrelated with other strategies of long only strategies. It's a very different way to look at things. So I think it's something that you can appreciate and add to your trading. And it's not super straightforward, which I like, because then it's probably going to last longer. It's going to work better. So that's kind of my spiel on that. I had something else to add, and it's eluding me at the moment, and I'll jump back on and make a attachment to this podcast if I remember it, but I'm going to do another one on emotions next.